Praise God. We are so happy to be here. Thanks for having us. And I mean, of course, as he said, we're with Overland Missions. And, you know, it's been such an honor to be, you know, sitting under such an amazing leadership and peers. And the organization, even since we've been started 3 years ago, has grown from, 80 to 140, 150 people now. And It's just you're surrounded by the best of the best, you know. So you get to stay in this humble position of, like, you know, like, praise God, you know, I'm going to be growing up with you. And, so what we're doing now is we are preparing to go to Indonesia. We're just going to jump in this so that way she can take the majority of the time here. But we're preparing to go to Indonesia. We've making plans to acquire a vessel so we can be part of a maritime division to reach these islands in the Indonesia chain all the way down to Solomon Islands. We originally started off preparing to go to a place called Bougainville right above Australia. And we're going to be part of a smaller ship, you know, like a catamaran type of experience. And we were all going to raise support to, you know, get these small boats to kind of be sent off. And I'll give you a quick story. We had a boat that was donated to Overland Missions, and we had a shipwreck in the first 3 days of sailing it. And we had a whale hit us, tore off the rudder on the starboard side, and the boat sank. God rescued us with a Coast Guard rescue from a helicopter from Cape Cod, Massachusetts. I mean, it was something that, it's a 30-minute story, so I can't go into it. But, I mean, how God takes care of you on every step of your life. And, you know, we had a business for almost 8 years where we were, you know, we met in missions, met in Botswana out of all places, met again in Botswana the next year. Like, oh, maybe I should be friends with this person. And then went back 2 years later, and that's when we found out about Overland Missions, and we were part of a six-month trip there. And through the course of all this, you know, God just kind of prepared us and grew us. And I was talking to Dan the other day, just how he fast-tracked our life. I mean, we're 32 and 31 right now. And we've had a business for 8 years, and God just kind of kept on growing that and multiplying with just word of mouth. You know, like, he was the owner, and I'm just the employee. And I'm just like, okay, Lord, you know, whatever you want us to do, we'll do it. And we'll do it as if we're doing it to you and with integrity. And, you know, people talk. And it just came something that was, we saw God's faithfulness and finances and trust and just the business. And the shipwreck was just one of those things that was, now it's faith and trust in your life. And, you know, we're young, so we didn't have any diseases or any, you know, illnesses, and we don't have to worry about, you know, being on our deathbed. It was just something that, you know, we got this fast track of life that happened in, you know, like 8 to 10 years. And all that to say, you know, get kind of set up, that's what brought us to Oklahoma. And just one thing after another led, you know, when we said yes to missions, you know, I'm not going to get into crazy theology or whatever else, but when we said yes to missions, you know, things started happening, coming against our way, and started pushing us and pressing us. And it's kind of one of those things that when you're squeezed, what's going to come out of you? And, you know, thankfully, we've had enough grounding in the Word that as we're being squeezed, we're like, no, Jesus. And we kept on, you know, saying Jesus. And he was the person in charge, and not by us and what our desires were, because things are tough. Things get rough. And when things get rough, you just got to keep on looking and focusing your eyes on Jesus. Amen. So without further ado, here's my wife, my beautiful wife, Brandy. She'll talk to you.
So I always make a joke and say, well, the whale kind of started it all. So when the ship get in some flip-flops and get everything going. Sorry, I move around a lot. And so when we went into missions, his parents, it's 192 square feet, and the girls have two lofts that go up. They have ladders that go up to their lofts. And then we have our king-size bed in the bottom. And so in the middle of the night, it was about maybe 1 o'clock in the morning, my little list was thirsty for some water. So I thought, okay, I'll get up. He tried to throw a water bottle up. It didn't make it. And so I got up out of bed and took the water bottle up the ladder. I was only about four steps up, so about 4 feet high. I gave her water, and she was drinking it. And I just remember, like, she looked so beautiful. Like, the moonlight was coming in. She had taken her shirt off. She got hot, and her long hair was down over her. And I thought, oh, Lord, she's just so beautiful. Thank you for blessing me with her. And so she's drinking her water, and then I'm like, all right, that's enough water, because you don't want them to have to go pee in the middle of the night now. You know, put your lid back on. And that's the last thing I remember. I went unconscious while I was on the ladder, and I fell off. And John had thought that McKenna had thrown her horse off of the ladder, because what looked like, he just saw arms and legs up in the air falling down. So he thought it was her big, giant horse falling out of the loft. But then the bam didn't make sense to be a stuffed animal. And so he comes running up. He goes, "Brandy, Brandy." He doesn't hear anything. So he gets out of bed. He turns the light on, and he looked at me. And in that moment, my eyeballs were rolled to the back of my head, and he thought I was dead. And so he got over to me. He starts touching me. You know, he knew not to move me, thankful to, you know, Overland AMT, you know, wilderness medicine, like, don't move her, you know. So he's, you know, kind of shaking me and touching me, and I wasn't responding at all. And he sent my oldest in to get his mom and dad and to tell them, you know, what was going on. And he got the phone. He started making the 911 call, and I still hadn't come to yet. And so after he finally told them, like, all of the information, I finally started to wake up. And I don't remember waking up yet, but I said, "I can't feel my legs. There's something wrong." And he just started praying over my body. He's like, "Ah, they're just sleeping. You know, like, they're gonna work again." And just started speaking the word of God over my body, commanding life throughout my body. Everything's all right. You know, they're taking a break. They're going to come back, you know? And so I finally remember waking up, and I remember looking up thinking, why am I on the floor in my tiny house? And there's a lot of men in here. Those are firefighters. I'm only in my underwear. I'm naked, and there's men over top of me. Like, what's going on? And so thankfully, he had covered me up, but I knew distinctly, like, I couldn't feel my lower body. Like, it was a very distinct feeling. Like, there was no doubt about it. Like, you hear people, you know, being paralyzed, but I just knew that there was something wrong. And so the ambulance took me off, and the whole time, like, I kept saying, "We're missionaries. We're going to the Solomon Islands. We're supposed to be on a boat. You know, I have 3 girls. I have to walk again, and I don't have health insurance." So that's what they wrote on repeat in my chart, like, that we're missionaries, and we're going to the islands. And so I got to the hospital, and they took me back, and they did all of your CAT scans to figure out what was going on. And John was out in the waiting room still. And when they came back in, they said, "You know, I'm sorry, I have bad news." John found out that I was paralyzed by this big security guard outside. He comes up, and what did he say?
"Oh, it doesn't matter too much. He wasn't the friendliest guy, but he's like, 'Hey, you the missionary?' And I'm like, 'Man, I guess I would be the only person in the hospital that's the missionary, sure.' And he's like, 'Oh, man, sucks about your wife. She's paralyzed.' I'm like, 'What? I'm like, that's what you're telling me right now?' And so I'm just going to clenched up fist, and I'm like, 'I'm ready to fight you,' you know, type of a thing. And but thankfully, that's not what the verdict's going to be forever. And we went back to the hospital room, and we had such an amazing experience where we had the best surgeon who was already on staff. So we had the neurologist that was already on staff. She was there, and she was there because she hit her head. She had 3-inch skull fracture. And then we had, within about 2 hours, we had one of the top spinal surgeons in the state came in, freshly shaved head, suit and tie, and it was about 6 o'clock in the morning. And he performed surgery about 45 minutes later. And, I mean, at this point, she's being wheeled away, and I remember I kissed her and then saw her toe move. And it was just one of those things, and I'm like, you know, praise God, you know, like we said, you know, like, it's sleeping. That's all it is right now. Like, it's just sleeping, it's resting, it's recovering. Because, you know, like, what do they say is most important for kids? You know, you got to have, you know, good source of food, get a lot of rest. Everything else kind of falls into place. So it's just sleeping right now. But I'll let you go.
So I ended up that I broke my T5, T8, T12, and L1, and I had a 3-inch skull fracture, all from falling 4 feet. And when the T12 broke, it bursted into a ton of pieces, which then severed the spinal cord 90%. And it also went up and broke T5 as well. So I had a spinal cord injury at T5. And, you know, the doctor said, "You'll never walk again. You'll never move anything from the belly button down. Like, not one thing. You can pray all you want. It's not going to happen." You know, of course, he's just setting himself up for God to see God's glory. But you're never going to move anything. And so we started out, you know, did the physical therapy. They take you into rehab and everything. And I'll tell you, the moment I fell off that ladder, the Holy Spirit just blanketed us with so much peace and joy in a way that is so indescribable, like just blanketed us. There wasn't a moment to be scared or a moment to wonder, well, will I ever walk again? You know, like he just blanketed us with peace and joy. And I knew that everything was going to be okay. Like I just knew it. And so when we got into rehab, you know, they thought I was too happy. So therefore I was in denial that I was paralyzed. And I was like, well, if you want me to say it, I guess I can like say it out loud, like, but I'm going to walk again. I don't understand like what the problem is. And so, we need to put you on some medicine. You're crazy. And so the first prayer that I had that we saw that was answered was, you know, I was turning 30 on April 18th. And I said, by golly, everybody should be able to pee and poop by their 30th birthday. You know, I don't want a cath. You know, I want to be able to go to the bathroom on my own. So we put it out there, like, join us in faith and prayer. I'm going to be able to pee and poop on my own. And so they took the catheter out. And the same day that they took the catheter out, I was able to pee on my own. And the entire hospital heard me cheering and screaming, I can pee! And that is rare. Like, it's a miracle. You know, they said that you'd have to cath for the rest of your life. And so that was the first moment that we saw, like, that something had changed. And then from there, I have to step back real quick. I went to a women's conference in Indonesia. And while I was there, we went up and we prayed for a mom and a dad. And I asked, which we tried to tell him a story and it didn't work. And so I said, can we pray? Is there any pain in your body? And he said, yeah, I can't feel my heel. I said, okay, let's pray for your heel. So we prayed for his heel. And when we got done, we said, well, how does it feel? And he's like, oh, mama, I can feel my foot. And so mama was his wife. He says, you have to pray for mama. I said, okay. So she comes out around. She brings this cute little plastic chair. She sets it down and she pulls up her dress. And I was like, oh my gosh. Her leg was so fat and so, it looked like it was going to fall off. Here she had been bitten by a dog and had these bumps all on the top. And it was green. It smelled bad. It was hot to the touch. And so I was like, all right, we'll pray for you, right? So she sits there. She closes her eyes, covers her little eyeballs up. And she has the biggest smile on her face. She was expecting. She had just watched her husband healed, and she was expecting for God to do the same thing. This God that she never even heard of, but we're telling her about Jesus. She expected that same thing for herself. And so we prayed for her, and when we got done, she jumps up and down, and I didn't notice anything significantly different. You know, but being in missions, you know, you've seen miracles happen. You've seen healings happen. You know, the blind eyes are open. The deaf can hear. They have stomach pains. You know, they have migraines, all these things. But, you know, I don't think I'd actually seen a physical miracle with my eyeballs, like one that I could tangibly, like, see, you know? And so the next day we came up, or after we got done praying for her, I looked at her and I said, tomorrow morning when you wake up, your leg is going to be completely normal. And I went, oh, did I just say that out loud? Like, okay, we're going to come back and visit you tomorrow. And so we came back the next day, and I pulled up her dress. I ran up to her, and her leg was completely normal. It was a brand new leg. And then the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, why are you so surprised? Do you really believe in miracles? Because you would not be so surprised of what you just saw. And I just repented in that moment. Lord, I've been saying this whole time that I believe in miracles, but do I actually really believe in miracles? And I just came back to the States and started digging into the Word of God. What does it say about healing? You know, because what do I believe about it? Do I really believe that you are going to heal all? It's your will to heal everybody? Or is it, oh, maybe that person because they pray more, or that person because, you know, they got it right, they read their Bible, or that person because, well, you know, God's hand is just upon them. No, it says in the Bible, he healed all. And so here I am now, paralyzed from the belly button down. The doctors are saying, you're never going to walk again. So they put me in this standing frame because they wanted to like see if I was a complete injury or an incomplete spinal cord injury. If you're a complete spinal cord injury, then it's like a plug if you chopped it all the way off. It's that toaster oven's never going to work again, right? If you are an incomplete, maybe there's like a tidbit of that cord left. Well, maybe you can put some tape around it or something like that and it'll work, right? And so they wanted to do this test to see if I was a complete or incomplete. If I was an incomplete spinal cord injury, it would take 120 years for your spinal cord to maybe grow out, maybe go the right direction, reach to your toes, and maybe you'd walk. 120 years. Well, I'll be dead by then. So they put me in this machine to see if there's any movement, any of your nerves, your muscles, any of your legs firing up. And my physical therapist, he thought, you're an incomplete. You're going to walk again. He was the only one who was, like, excited in the natural, like, through doctors that thought, oh, she might walk again. They put me in this standing frame. And it was hard to stand up, you know. And I'm trying to do everything they tell me to do. You know, they're trying to fire up my legs, think about standing. And I get back down. I'm so proud of myself. I'm like, how did I do? Did I do good? And he just goes, I'm sorry. I don't think you're ever going to walk again. There's not one thing firing in your legs. Like nothing's moving. Nothing's twitching. Nothing's working. Nothing at all. And my heart just sunk. And all of a sudden, I just said, get me back up on that machine. And so they put me back up in that machine. And in that moment, the only thing that could come out of me was Jesus. Jesus. Because I realized in that moment that I was nothing without him. I'm his daughter. I'm the apple of his eye. He loves me. He adores me. But there is not one thing that I can do on my own to make this spinal cord, to heal this body, to make it work again. I can't pray enough. I can't be enough. Like, I'm just here sitting in his love and saying, I'm your daughter. I'm yours. You love me. Here I am. And all that could come out was, Jesus, help me. You're the only one that can make the impossible possible. And just cried out. And as I'm just crying there, like in just saying his name over and over and over again, all of a sudden, I hear the physical therapist, her butt muscles moving, her legs moving, this is firing up. And that was the moment that something had happened, something changed, stuff started firing up. And we were all rejoicing, the whole hospital, her, they're coming in, seeing what's going on, this what she's yelling about now and praising God about. And so that was the moment that something had changed. And so we continued to do physical therapy. I was standing, you know, at physical therapy. Here I am, like, standing with my knees, you know, they're holding me up there. And so we got released from the hospital. And I had felt so much, like, that we wanted to go with this lady to Nigeria, Africa, 4 months after the accident. It's TL and Daisy Osborne's ministry. And so John and I actually took a trip 4 months after the accident to Nigeria, Africa, which set the bar so high because he had to carry me on and off the airplane, take me back, you know, to the back. And it was a time where, like, it was like, what, 50,000 women were there. It was a women's conference. And, you know, the biggest thing, we weren't ministering during that. We were just sitting. And my physical therapist had said, you know, you're trading physical therapy for soul. I said, yeah, I guess I'm going to go do, because he thought I was crazy going. And, you know, it was one of those things where everybody in Nigeria, whether they believed in God or didn't believe in God, the moment they would see me, they'd say, ah, you'll walk again. You'll walk again. And it was just a moment of just being in God's presence and allowing him just to, like, love on us. And so then from there, we did physical therapy at Project Walk, and we just prayed that God would expedite every ounce that we put towards physical therapy. You know, it wasn't going to take 120 years for, you know, my spinal cord to grow out. Every moment that I'm getting up and I'm working out and I'm putting my all into physical therapy, God is going to expedite that. He's going to continue to to make things grow out. And just recently, we had found out, I said I had mentioned that there was an injury at T5. I didn't know there was an injury at T5 until about 3 months ago. We got back from Project Walk. I had been having this thing called autonomic dysreflexia, where basically your blood pressure goes up because of any sort of pain or stimuli from below your injury level. So like if the sun is on my legs, you know, my blood pressure would go up. You know, if you, during physical therapy, my blood pressure would go up. If you were constipated, your blood pressure would go up. And I was getting these migraine headaches constantly, and my heart would race, and I would throw up. And it just became something that was happening over and over, but we didn't know why it was happening, because it doesn't happen unless you are a T6 and above, but they said your spinal cord's at T12. Nobody knew that there was an injury at T5, even though I had broke it. And so recently I went to a healing conference in Florida, and before I left, I remember just praying like, Lord, you know, we're going there, and this autonomic thing is making my life not so much fun right now. It's hindering ministry. It's hindering, you know, taking care of my children. You know, you've got to take this from me. It's got to go. And when I was there, we were just in worship. Like, we did worship the entire hour. Like, there wasn't any preaching that happened. It was just sitting under and worshiping your daddy and saying, I love you. And during that moment, I felt this hot sensation on my back. And I thought, oh, that's really weird and really cool. Like, just this burning hot on my upper back. And didn't think much of it just because I was so much in praise and worship. We went back to the hotel. The next morning, I had this aha moment. I thought, oh, my gosh, did you just heal me of that autonomic dysreflexia? Like, is that gone? The next day, like, I had this aha moment that God healed me of this. I have not had an episode of that in 6 weeks, not one. It is completely gone altogether. So God has healed me of multiple things over and over and over again. And you know, sorry, I'm overwhelmed. It's just beautiful and amazing. I know we're running out of time here. One thing that I want to say is that when storms come, are you going to blame God, or are you going to say, no, I know what your word says. I'm grounded in your word, and nothing is going to shake me. You cannot convince me that God is not good, because he is so good. He is so good. You cannot convince me that he does not do the impossible, because he does. And I know it is his will to heal every single one of us all the time. Whether it is a scrape on your leg, or it is having seizures, or if it is a spinal cord injury, it doesn't matter what it is, because he cares about all of our pain, all of our worries, all of our hurts, all of our fears. He cares about all of that, and he wants to take it away. So someone told me once, I heard this thing, and they said, you know, about blaming God. And they said, instead of blaming God, why don't you ask God where he is when something's happening? And I remembered that at the hospital. It was the first time that I was by myself. And John had gone to get some food. And I just remember I missed my girl so much, so I started crying. And I remembered, I heard that in my head. Where were you, God? Where were you when I fell off that ladder? Here we are, like, we gave our lives up for you. You know, like, we're about to tell everybody how good you are. Where were you then? And all of a sudden, I was taken into a vision, like one of those out-of-body experiences. And he took me back to the tiny house where I had fallen off the ladder. And when I fell off the ladder, the angels caught my head. They didn't catch the rest of my body, but they caught my head. I had a 3-inch skull fracture, but I didn't have any brain damage at all. That would have killed me. And they caught my head. And then from there, the vision took me into the emergency room, you know, where I'm on the gurney, I'm laying there, they're all trying to figure out what's going on. And when John is to my right, and when I look to my left, there was Jesus standing there next to me, holding my hand. And the look on his face was this look of, I love you so much. But yet I could see that, like, he was hurting because I was hurting because I'm his daughter. And just like if our kids get hurt, you want to pick them back up. You want to kiss them. You want to take their boo-boos and you want to make them all better, right? He's there holding me. And then from there, I went to the surgery room. And the doctors were over top of me. I was already on my belly. They had already were operating. But, you know, the doctor said, I don't know if I can even fix you. The injury is so bad that I don't know if I can put the pieces back together, but I'm going to try. And there, there's angels all around every exit of the door. They were in a circle just blocking it, and there was angels above the doctor guiding him as he was doing the operation. And then from there, I'm back in my hospital room. Now it's just me. I'm here in my hospital room, and at the foot of my bed is Jesus, just looking at me, saying, keep your eyes fixed on me. Don't lose sight of who I am. You have got to keep your eyes on me. Know that I am your daddy. I am going to take care of you. Everything is going to be okay. I mean, just, he didn't have to say anything. That's what he was saying. Just the looks, I knew, like, keep your eyes on me. It doesn't matter what people say around you. It doesn't matter what man's opinion is of you. You know, keep your eyes on me, grounded in the word of God, unshakable. And there he said, one day I'm going to tell you to pick up your mat and walk. So I know without a shadow of a doubt that as I keep my eyes fixed on Jesus and I keep pressing into the word of God, he's going to clean house of everything that's there. We're always, you can be in a beautiful place to always be moldable. Lord, teach me more. What do I need to clean house of? What unbelief inside of me needs to leave? Because you're always growing. You're always, you know, it's a beautiful place to be in of, there's more things that I need to get rid of. There's more selfishness that I need to get rid of so I can keep my eyes fixed on you. And there is not one doubt, not one bit of unbelief in me so that when I tell that mountain to move, it's going to move. You're going to keep growing me. And so I encourage each of you to do the same thing. Like, start somewhere. Like, start digging in. I pick up the Bible, but I can't read it. You know, like I get focused. I get unfocused. Like, I don't know what to do with it. Start. Wake up. Discipline your flesh one day at a time. Take 5 minutes. Wake up 5 minutes early and start reading, even if it's unenjoyable, which it's not. It's amazing. That will start to build up. There will be just this fire inside of you that starts building up. Your hunger for the Word of God is going to be so big as you start taking those baby steps to grow and to want to know and desire God more. It's all about relationship. Yeah. Nothing else. It's about relationship. And it is the most beautiful thing. I can stand here and tell you that it has been amazing. It has been a beautiful journey because the Holy Spirit and Jesus has not left my side. And there is peace in the storm. There is joy in the storm. It is a choice. Yes. On the days where you don't feel like having joy, you choose to have joy. You choose to look forward and know that God's got this big plan. It's not about today. We have to continue to be kingdom-minded, that God is good and that he's got our best interest in mind. And he's going to work it out greater than we could ever imagine or even hope for, because he's our daddy. So, we love you guys. We're so blessed to be here.